Go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the seven route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the greats check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short.
Patriots play.
Even 51 greats. Even 51 greats.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast lead over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
There must be squirrels in the wiring or something. This is two straight days now where 10 seconds before we go on the show, the computer screen goes dark.
They're squirrel saboteurs, no less.
That's the only thing I can...
Because they're coming in, they're doing it right when we go on the air.
It's the only thing I can think of. Welcome inside the playbook anyway. John Rook, Eric Scalavino from PFW here on a Thursday. Pats and Dolphins, week one of the NFL season. Coming up Monday night, Sun Life Stadium in Miami. Just because the screen goes dark doesn't mean that you can't send in your emails, you can't send in your comments, you can't pick up the phone and call, you can't Facebook it, because we are in business today in a packed show. Brian Bregaine from the Palm Beach Post, who covers the Dolphins, will join us in 15 minutes. And then in hour number two, the one, the only, Russell S. Baxter with ProFootballGuru.com, as it now stands, formerly from ESPN. He had spent better than 20 years with ESPN as their NFL research head, and now he's kind of branching out on his own. But Russell has agreed to come back with us this year in the playbook on Thursdays and share his knowledge. So we'll have him in hour number two. Kind of to start the program today, Eric, before we get into a practice report and look at some of the things that have been going on with the team as we head into Monday night's game, I think it's really kind of obvious. We haven't talked about it much this week because we've had almost an entire offseason worth of stuff to catch up on in a couple of days, since this show doesn't go on during the offseason like PFW does. But I'm interested to know today, rather than so, I want to hear people's thoughts on the game on Monday. I want you to send in your score predictions.
Predictions,
definitely.
Right. It's prediction Thursday.
We need it. We need your scores.
First
but
of the year.
I also want to know how many wins you think this team is capable of this year. I think it's a fair question.
Well, you'll know mine because mine's in the paper that's in front of you.
You have it?
Yeah.
Already? How many wins? Did you guys do that in
we
the
do
paper?
That
this
yeah, we do that every year in our predictions page. Right. In the centerfold spread.
It's in the centerfold spread?
Yeah.
I have to look then.
Yeah, you don't have to do it now, but I'm just saying it's there for you when you when you get
I'll look
to it.
But we didn't really get a chance to talk about it, and I think that there's a lot of expectation amongst fans, at least that I've spoken to, that this team will be competitive to the point that, you know, a Super Bowl is within reason. Now, I don't know yet. I always
hesitate.
That's
been the case every year, though.
Well,
for the last
I think more so this year than last year. Remember last year we were a little bit skittish about some things because of the way the schedule lined up.
Yeah, particularly I have a trouble with that word. Particularly the defense last year.
We had major question marks. Obviously the team was able to fight through it. Ended up 14-2, which was the best record in the NFL, and then fell flat on their faces in the playoffs. And I seem to get the impression that most fans are like, well, geez, I would be willing to take less wins in the regular season if we could win a playoff game and trade it off. And they seem to think that that is sort of an obvious trade-off. And I'm here to say, no, one has nothing to do with the other. What you do in the regular season and what you do in the preseason, postseason, I just don't think, it's kind of like going from the preseason to the regular season. I don't think there's a ton of carryover. There's more carryover from the regular season to the post than there is from the pre to the regular.
I understand where people are getting at, though. They're frustrated that the team has had such great regular seasons,
and they didn't finish them off. But the thinking is, well, I'm going to come down off of my win total in hopes that they can win X in the postseason.
Well, I don't hope they come off the win total.
Well, but that's just kind of dumb. I mean, it doesn't work like that. You really don't know what you're going to do in the postseason because a lot of it is predicated on how you play toward the end of the year, what your injury situation is like, whether or not you have home field advantage. So certainly there's more to momentum late in the year carrying into the playoffs than there is preseason momentum carrying into the regular season. You would certainly agree with that, I would assume.
Yeah.
Okay. That being said, as I look at the schedule, I'm going to start it off right here, right now with wins. This team won 14 games last year against a schedule last year appeared to be a little more difficult than this year. Is that an what do you think? Weren't we thinking last year 8-8, 9-7?
I think I predicted eight and eight.
And I said 9-7 to 10-6.
Less because of the schedule and more because of
the defense.
Of the defense.
All right.
Yeah.
But it was a dominant, I mean, it was a fairly dominating schedule.
It wasn't an easy schedule.
No. It was tough. There was a great stretch in October, early November that we weren't sure how they were going to get through it, and they got through it great.
I actually thought last year's schedule was very beneficial for this team because of, where the bye week came early and the fact that they played on Thanksgiving, which gave them a dual bye week. I said that all throughout last year. I thought the schedule actually was one of the more beneficial aspects of last season. I didn't think it lessened the impact of what the schedule would have been were it just, you know, 16 weeks in a row of games, I thought. Anyway, so I think this year's might be a little bit more difficult. Especially that stretch where you have 3 8 o'clock games, 8:30 games in 4 weeks, in the latter part of the season, that's going to be a tough stretch. And there's some road games that aren't going to be easy. Denver in the winter, right before winter starts in December. So I think this year has its troubles as well.
All right, it has some pitfalls. Every schedule does. I'm not willing to say, though, that this year's schedule is going to be more difficult than last year. The point that I'm making here is, at least not yet, on paper, I think, at least I feel certainly a little bit better about the chances for this defense that I did going into last year. With the changes they've made, with the veterans they've brought in.
They certainly made a lot more moves this year.
In spite of the secondary moves, which has left them a little thin as it now stands, I think there's more of an opportunity for this defense to be, shall we say, more of a championship caliber than what we saw last year.
And I just want to be clear. I don't want to speak for you, John, but I want to be clear on how I feel about that because I kind of agree with you about your secondary assessment.
Yep.
But the way I see it as thin is because there are so many guys who are unproven, not because I don't think the talent is there. I think there, you know, Rozai Dowling could become a contributor. I think. You know, I don't know what we have in Antoine Molden, but I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
I like what we have in McCourty, obviously. I like what we have in Bodden. I'm glad to see he's back and practicing consistently. I've been a big fan of Kyle Arrington for the role that he is best suited to play, which I think is in the slot. But at safety, nobody was rejoicing more than me when I heard that Brandon Merriweather got cut. I've been calling for that for that was long overdue. I don't know what we have in Josh Barrett. I don't know what we have in James Ihedibo. I like what I've seen so far of Sergio Brown, but I need to see more. So, to me, the questions in the secondary are just more of that we haven't seen guys do what they can do yet. Not necessarily that they're thin because of a lack of talent. I just I need to see it. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but that's how I feel. I think we just need to see it first.
I don't disagree with any of that.
Last year, I mean, it's not like the linebacker core last year when I thought they have no talent at the position. They don't have bodies at the position. They don't have talent. I don't think that's the case in the secondary. Okay. I think they have bodies and I think they have talent. I just need for them to prove it to me.
Okay.
It's different than what the linebackers were last year.
Well, let's look at the schedule. Let's play the game.
Go ahead.
And that way you can reveal, for those that don't get PFW, you can reveal what your wins and losses are. Let's kind of look at that. Again, we'll be talking with Brian Bregan from the Palm Beach Post coming up in just a few minutes to look more at the Dolphins game. But, for instance, you got at Miami, and I think we both think this team will win on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego here at home. I think that'll be more difficult than most people expect, but it is the home opener.
And it's a win.
And I think it's a win.
Mm-hmm.
At Buffalo, win.
Yep.
At Oakland, win.
Yes.
Jets here, win.
Yes. And that's, I think, going to be a matchup of 4-0 teams.
Okay. Dallas here. I'm going to go with
3-0. Yeah, 4-0. Right.
4-0 teams. I would say Dallas is a win here.
I agree.
Then you have the bye week.
I think they win that one.
Okay. That's a tough opponent. Then you go to Pittsburgh. And I'm going to say L.
I think this was one of my L's too. I think it was one of my L's.
All right, so we both have them now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6-1.
Yeah.
It gives us 6-1.
Yeah.
Giants at home. win, 7-1. At Jets, loss.
I think I gave them a loss for that one, too.
We're both 7-2.
Yeah.
You keeping track here?
Yep.
Versus Kansas City, win.
Win.
8-2. Yep. At Philly, loss.
Win.
Ooh. Okay. All right, so I'm now 8-3.
Oh, I'm sorry. At Philly.
At Philly.
That's the loss, too.
Okay, so we're both 8-3.
Yeah.
All right. Indianapolis, win.
Win.
9-3.
Yep.
At Washington, win.
Win.
10-3. At Denver, win.
Loss.
Ooh, that's where we differ. All right, so I got 11-3. You got 10-4. And then the last two games are a home Miami, home Buffalo.
Both
two
wins.
All right, that gives you 12-4.
Mm-hmm.
Gives me 13-3.
And the reason Denver, because they never play well there. It's in December, which means there's going to be 3 feet of snow on the ground here and there.
Okay, you make a very valid point. You're right. They play miserably in Denver.
Yep. So,
but I'm gonna wager at this stage of the game that Denver's out of the mix by then.
Might be.
And if they're out of the mix with the Patriots in the mix in a probably a within one game stretch for the division with the Jets, mm-hmm. I'm gonna say this time they get over the hump.
I'd love for you to be right and me to be wrong in that case.
Okay. So you say 12-4.
12-4.
And I've got them for 13 wins.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still one fewer than they had last year.
Still not bad, though.
Well, 13-3, I would think.
Anytime you're winning more than 10 games, you're doing well.
13-3, you're still very much in the running for
a bye week.
An open bye.
Yep.
You know,
one or two.
Either the one or the two seed, but you're right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what the Patriots have themselves. That's what they have in store. I mean, certainly there's some key weeks that that as you look at the schedule, they can stub their toe. Usually this team does lose one that they probably should win. You know, Cleveland certainly comes to mind from last year.
Yeah.
But I mean, I can see some potential, landmines with San Diego. I can see a landmine at Oakland. I can see a landmine at home against the Jets.
Dallas.
I can see a landmine with Dallas. Certainly with the Giants. I can see a landmine with Indy and Washington and Denver. I could any one of those three, depending on what shape the team is in.
Kansas City. Just because of the
maybe, yeah.
The familiarity of the two schemes.
Yeah, I'd have to say so.
Coaching staffs.
Sure, absolutely. So,
we're pretty much in agreement on the season.
We're close. We're very close with this.
The only one we disagree on is Denver. We agreed on everything else. Precisely.
That's the only one.
Games they would lose,
that's
except
right.
for that one.
That's right. Absolutely. So what I want you to do as you're listening in today is tell us how many wins this Patriot. I know you've gone down through the schedule. You have to. Every fan that I know has gone through the schedule and said win, 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 loss, win, win. Yeah, but you've already done that, so I want to know what you've come up with and where, if you differ with myself or Eric, where you differ. Why you think this team will win the number of games that you think that they will win, where you think the pitfalls might be. Where are the landmines? Very easy to get in touch with us here in the program. Webmail at, the webmail is webradio@patriots.com. So the email address again, webradio@patriots.com. You can give us a buzz on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Again, the number is 508-298-0398. You can also hit us up on Facebook. If those of you that are already friends on the Facebook page, it's John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. If you would like to join us, Facebook on the show.
Yeah, I like that.
That's cool. Very
was
good.
Was that by accident? Or
Yes, it was.
Totally.
A little sound effect that Kevin got. Then just submit the friend request. I'll accept. And you can post your questions on the Facebook page. Or you can use the chat function on the Facebook page, which a lot of people choose to do, and it's really great because I can kind of type in the responses, or if I don't get to them, I use them on the air. But send me your predictions for number of wins for this team. You can also follow me on Twitter, @JRook0722 is the Twitter address. So there's lots of ways that you can get in touch with the program. All right, Brian Bregan from the Palm Beach Post covers the Miami Dolphins. He joined us now inside the playbook as the Patriots and the Dolphins get set for Monday Night Football. Brian, John, and Eric here. How are you today?
Very good, guys. Nice talking to you.
Thank you for taking some time today. It's pretty clear. Week one, everybody's 0-0. Everybody's on the same level. The Patriots are feeling, I think, a little bit better about themselves even than they were at this time a year ago. After Miami got through the season that it did, only 1-7 at home, Tony Sperano surviving, Chad Henne surviving. You bring in, you know, Reggie Bush and a running back. You bring in Brian Daboll, who obviously Patriots fans are familiar with. How much better are the Dolphins feeling about themselves now as compared to a year ago?
Well, I think they feel a lot better. I think they, you know, their defense got established last season. Mike Nolan really took a defense that was pretty questionable, and they climbed from 22nd in the league to 6th. Actually, they were 5th before that last Patriots game.
Mm-hmm.
But that dropped them a notch. But and that group should be better. The two corners now, Vontae Davis and Sean Smith, are in their third year, so they're not kids anymore. They replaced Channing Crowder, who, for all his bluster, was not really a very good player, with Kevin Barnett, the leading tackler on San Diego's number one ranked defense. So defensively, I think that the situation looks very good. Offensively, you know, that remains to be seen how it all comes together.
Okay. We asked Andy Katz yesterday. He was joining us on the program.
Kent.
Andy Kent, sorry. What your sense is of how Dolphin fans feel about Sperano keeping his job, because there was all of that hype about John Harbaugh being courted by the Dolphins, and that didn't work out. And then it sort of seemed like, as a last resort, they kept Sperano. What's your sense, Brian, about what fans feel about that move or non-move?
Well, certainly the flirtation with Harbaugh was very public, and it's hard to believe that Stephen Ross thought he was going to be doing this in a vacuum and nobody was going to find out about it in this day and age with all the technology we have, but he insists that's the case, and he never intended to, hang Tony out to dry. But having done so, clearly, I think the fans are kind of very mixed on what Sperano has done. Certainly this team has not played with any level of excitement the last few years. Sperano's a Parcells disciple, and, the 3 yards in a cloud of dust system does not really work in the NFL anymore. So, I think there's that, and it's kind of, you better show us this year or we expect you to be gone. I think that's, you know, there's enough patience that they'll give him one more chance with a new coordinator and hopefully a new and improved Chad Henne, but you know, the leash is very short as far as the fans are concerned.
Let's talk about that new and improved Chad Henne for a moment, Brian. What have you seen in the preseason that gives you an indication that he is new and improved? How has he differed from Chad a year ago?
Well, it's just almost a night and day. And again, you know how preseason is. The sample size is very small.
Right.
So he did make some throws. For example, the third preseason game, of course, that's supposed to be the big indicator. He had two throws in that game that were just kind of eye-opening. A throw to Brandon Marshall, a good 40 yards downfield, exactly where it had to be. He had a half a step on the DB and, put it right where it had to be. And another throw over the middle to Anthony Fasano, where it was just over the fingertips of the linebacker and, right where it had to be. So those are the kind of plays that Henne did not make last year. And, his failures were really, magnified by the fact that they were in so many games because of the defense. And then when, he failed, they lost. And that's, it could have gone from 7-9, it could have gone to 10, 11, 12 wins. So it was that dramatic.
Brian Bregan from the Palm Beach Post joining us here inside Patriots Playbook as the Patriots and Dolphins go on Monday night. All right, so Chad Henne, allegedly new and improved. Offensive scheme a little bit different from what it has been in the past. I'm a little curious. When you bring in a guy like Reggie Bush, you look like you want to open things up a little bit more. The receivers, I think, certainly seem to be in place where they've been effective in the past. When you have had a chance to talk to these guys and ask them philosophically how they expect to change their way of attacking with the football, what's come up? or what message, you know, what answer have they come up with that gives you a reason to think that maybe they have decided to change some things for the better? Have they talked about opening it up? Have they talked about trying to put the ball in Reggie's hands? They talk about going around the end, dumping it over the middle. What have they talked about?
Pretty much all of those.
All of the above?
Those, I think, are going to be necessary, really. They, you know, the first scrimmage that they had one formation with four wide, with Marshall, Devon Best, Brian Hartline, and Reggie Bush as the four. And lo and behold, they all come out of the backfield, and first-team defense is on them. Well, Carlos Dansby is on Bush. And if you get a linebacker on Reggie Bush,
you're in trouble.
You know,
yeah, right. Yeah, you're in trouble.
Defensively. And he could have taken that play 50 yards. Of course, they blow the whistle. But those are the kind of things they want to do. They, you know, Marshall has kind of fallen out of favor, I think, here league-wide. I mean, people don't talk about him anymore. But this guy's a top-notch receiver. And, you know, Devon Best, very good slot receiver. It's not like you got a lot of second-teamers here. These are very good skill players. So.
Yeah, I think Devon Best is a highly underrated player. I think he's very, very solid. Obviously, Brandon Marshall can still seem to do some damage. I think the Dolphins are going to be very capable on offense. To me, the question is whether or not Chad Henne can deliver with any consistency.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think it's all going to come down to that. So.
I like the dynamic addition of Reggie Bush, and obviously you mentioned the receivers who are capable.
Right.
I'm more intrigued by the Dolphins' defense. I think that's where they have the best chance of trying to knock off New England on Monday night. Curious to know from you, Brian, who you think, given the addition of Chad Ochocinco to this offense and Aaron Hernandez, who's a tight end, who's, you know, technically a tight end, but lines up mostly as a wide receiver on most plays, who you think Vontae Davis is going to be covering in this game with all the weapons at Tom Brady's disposal? I know they've moved Davis around a little bit on the defense, but where do you think he's going to end up spending most of his time on Monday night?
Certainly, well, looking at their depth chart, the Patriots' depth chart, they've got Ochocinco behind Branch, so, you know, I think, I don't think there's really a sense that Sean Smith or Vontae Davis is that much better or weaker than each other, so I think they'll have no problem. You know, I think the biggest concern is Welker. And with that, they've got Benny Sapp as their nickel guy to take care of him. So I think that's a bigger deal.
Do you think, though, that do they keep the matchup consistent or do they mix them up? Because I remember, I think last year, I think it was last year's game here at home when they moved Davis around a lot. They didn't keep him on just one player. They had him covering different people.
Yeah, no, they're trying to keep them each on one side this year. So
okay.
I expect that to remain consistent. But and again, I don't see a great difference between the two. So it's not like if one's getting smoked, then they'll move the other, and he's going to do so much better. So
Gotcha.
I would expect that.
I think I'd be mildly surprised if Ochocinco didn't start the game. I mean, I realize that the depth chart, they've got, you know, basically both tight ends in there as it now stands. But I'd be surprised if they didn't have Ochocinco and they don't start in a three-wide package, which, you know, and I frankly believe the Dolphins would be a little surprised if they didn't see that as well. To me, if you're going on the road, you're playing in, you know, the season opener. There's certainly, you know, pressure on Miami after going 1-7 at home last year, I think, to get off to a good start. I think Patriots feel like they got to jump on things pretty quickly and, you know, try to dispel, you know, some of the rumors that maybe Ochocinco doesn't get it yet here in New England. And you're probably familiar a little with that, Brian, just because he wasn't very active in the preseason.
Yeah, I've heard, actually, Karen Green from the Boston Herald and I are old friends, so I had a long talk with her about the Patriots the other day, and she basically said she doesn't feel as if Ochocinco's really caught on to the offense yet, so I'll be very curious to see how he fits in first game.
Yeah, a lot of that, I think, is just because they haven't targeted him a lot. My guess is that will happen a lot more on Monday, which is why I'd be surprised if Ochocinco wasn't in there in a three-wide package with Branch and Welker to start at any rate. You know, the one thing that we've kind of keyed on here is the fact that the Patriots have some, I don't want to say upheaval, but let's just say some unsettledness in the offensive line. You know, a guy like, you know, Sebastian Vollmer, wasn't in the portion of practice today that we're allowed to see. So that means that there's a very good possibility that a rookie first-round draft pick might start at that position. And when you have somebody relatively new in Brian Waters who could start at right guard, that side of the offensive line, you'd have to say, is a big question mark. And if they're having to block on a guy like Cameron Wake, that sounds like an opportunity to me for Miami. What does it sound like to you?
Absolutely. I've heard that Brian Waters has been brought in and may play as well. So, it's surprising that this group that has always been kind of the foundation of the Patriots is in a little bit of flux. So, yeah, there's certainly some questions along those lines, and Cameron Wake will be the first one to take advantage of it.
What has Mike Nolan done as a defensive coordinator that has, you know, made this team better from a year ago, if anything, if you've noticed it?
I don't think an awful lot more. I mean, I think Mike Nolan's defenses are very aggressive and active. It's more, you know, putting Burnett in for Crowder, and they've added depth now. Jared Roderick, the number one pick from last year, who was certainly the opener, is back and very active. Philip Merling is back. Mm-hmm. It's almost the entire season with an Achilles last year,
mm-hmm.
and he looks good. So I think their depth up front is very good. The secondary looks good, and I think they just feel really good about their defense.
Surprise player on this roster? Somebody that might have stood out during the preseason, made the team, figures into the mix somewhere that we might not know about?
There's a burner. Fourth round pick from Abilene Christian, which happens to be Jeff Ireland's hometown,
mm-hmm.
Clyde Gates. But I don't know that he'll figure. He's a wide receiver. He'll probably return kicks. So
okay.
If he does make an impression, it'd be there. But not really. This is a young team, but a veteran team. It's tough to make it.
One other question about the offense. What's Jake Long's status? Is he in question for some reason?
Well, yeah, he didn't play any preseason games.
Right.
And we have to see what, you know, where he is. It's been a big mystery what his exact injury is.
Has he practiced this week?
He's insisting he's fine, and Sperano insists he's fine, so they're ready to go.
Has he practiced this
week? Listen, guys, I got to go. Brian Daboll is about to meet with us.
Sure, no problem.
I got to do that. So
you got it, no problem.
Thanks for the time.
Brian, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Brian Bergain from the Palm Beach Post.
Well, I guess we'll find out
we'll find out.
The injury report comes out in about an hour and a half or so.
Hour and a half. So, it usually comes out about 4 o'clock, a little after 4 mm-hmm. o'clock, right around there, Eastern time. We do post it on Patriots.com. So if we don't get the injury report here before we're done with this program, either Pete will have it in his program, or you can just refresh your browser and get it on the homepage of Patriots.com.
And the blog.
And the
we'll
blog as well.
PFW
yeah.
blog.
PFW blog. So
we'll
definitely will be able to get it as soon as it is released here on the website. All right, so there's a little insight to the Miami Dolphins. Funny how, you know, both reporters have been called away.
Very similar interviews, very similar answers, and very similar ending to the interviews.
I'm beginning to wonder if maybe, you know, they haven't been
they're giving us the rap.
I don't know if they're giving us the rap or if they've been told, all right, stick to the script. Honestly, I kind of got the impression that they're sticking to a script a little bit.
This isn't new. They're not covering this team.
Do we stick to a script?
No, not us.
No.
But there are others who do.
Well, that's also true. Interesting. All right, if you have questions on the Dolphins, it's time to fire away on those as well. Webradio@patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook page is up. It's running. Already have some predictions coming in. That's what we're looking for in terms of your input today here in the playbook. How many games will the Patriots win this year? What are they capable of doing? And how do you arrive at your win total? What's the deciding factor? If you also want to pick a score for Monday night's game, today's the day, because obviously we won't be back with you in the playbook until next Wednesday because of a Monday night game. Then Patriots Monday programming will be on Tuesday next week.
Get us back to Sundays
in
one, please.
I know. How many Sunday 1 o'clock games do we
not
have?
Many. Four, I think.
Yeah, but two are at home, two on the road?
I think that's right.
Yeah. See? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's what happens, though, when you're popular and everybody wants you on television.
I know.
You only get, you know, a certain number of games. I mean, Sundays at 1, that's going to be a luxury.
I'm an old man, John. I struggle to stay up for these games, I'm telling you.
You'll be up. You'll be up.
I know.
Come on, Eric. You'll be up. All right, let's pause here for a timeout. We're going to get to some of your emails. Give us a call as well, 508-298-0398 in the playbook.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the Big and Toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Patriots defense again, Sean Ellis. Welcome back to Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio.
Very cool. John Rook, PFW's Eric Scalavino, hour number one of our Thursday show. Just spoke with Brian Regan with the Palm Beach Post about the Dolphins. Coming up in hour two, the one and only Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. He'll join us. If you've never heard Russell, be prepared to be wowed, is all I'm going to say. Guy knows more football. Well, let's just put it this way. His job, 365 days a year, has been the NFL for the better part of the last 30 years. Dude knows his stuff.
You fall back in the cliche that he's forgotten more football than most people I know. Have ever known?
Yes. Yes, he has forgotten more football. The problem with Russell is he hasn't forgotten much football.
He hasn't forgotten anything.
No, no. The guy has got an encyclopedic memory.
Yeah, good guy.
So he can go back and refer to games that happened 20 years ago like they happened last night.
It's actually, I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
Bill's like that.
Yeah.
Bill recalls mundane facts from games that happened decades ago.
I heard, by the way, that the reviews on clip on the special that'll be on NFL Network, Football Life, mm-hmm. really good.
Yep.
So
early reviews.
September 14, right?
15.
15. September 15. Thank you.
15 and 22nd, I believe. There's two parts.
Again? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're trying to get ourselves a little in-house copy to try to watch that beforehand.
It'd be awesome. Well, I'll have the DVR set for the 15th.
Yeah, it sounds like it's good.
Yeah, sounds like it would be. All right, let's get to some of your emails, your Facebook messages. Phone lines again open as well at 508-298-0398. If you want to go the old-fashioned talk show route, by all means, give us a buzz on the Ace Ticket Hotline. The phones are open. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Facebook us. You can hit me up on Facebook. It's John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. If you're not a friend, you can put the friend request in. We'll accept that, and then you can either post on the page, you can use the chat function, you can send me a message, whatever you like. There's several ways to do it. Seems to be a sort of a neat little gathering spot during the program. Steve says via Facebook, he says, John, my prediction this year is 15-1. I predict the loss against the Jets on the road. Pittsburgh game is coming off of a bye. Philly game on the road doesn't worry me too much right now. I'm not sure why that is, Steve. I understand they may end up being a good team, but I think the hype will catch up to them, and any brewing issues from their locker room will explode by the end of November. They're a ticking time bomb. Depending on if my predictions come to fruition by December or January, I give them a loss against the Bills at home while they rest their starters. I'm with Eric that the Denver game is worrisome. So my worst-case scenario is 13-3, but I'm going into the season 15-1. Any game is up in the air. Who could have predicted the Browns' loss last year? My point exactly. You're going to throw up a stinker somewhere. The Patriots are the team to beat in the AFC this year. Schedule is kind of weak compared to previous years. That I agree with, Steve. I'm not willing to go 15-1, although if you look at it just from what they did last year and compare it to this year, I could see where you could make that reach. Because in theory, the team is better. In theory, the schedule is not as difficult as a year ago. And last year, they went 14-2. So I see how you might arrive at that. I'm just not saying in practicality, that's what's going to happen.
I'll tell you what. In 2007, in preseason, even before the preseason, during the offseason, had a feeling that 16-0 was possible. That 19-0, put it better, 19-0 was possible. I don't get that feeling with this team.
No.
I don't get that feeling at all with this team.
Now, but let's,
I think they're good enough. I think they're good enough to make the playoffs, go to the Super Bowl, and probably even win the Super Bowl.
Let's say they get to the bye week 6-0, though. All right?
Which we think they will.
Because it will come week 7, and we think that there's a very good chance that they could be 6-0 going to the bye week. Mm. If they do that, Eric, do you feel any differently then about the momentum that they've built up toward a possible 16-0?
No, because as we did in our little
win-loss thing?
Win-loss game. I had them losing that next game, so no, I don't feel any better about it.
Well, you know, Steve points
I'll
out,
feel
though,
better about it in week 16.
Steve points out, though, that the Pittsburgh game is coming off of the bye week, and that's usually fairly successful for Bill Belichick team.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh's a good team, though, and it's in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, to me now, is the Patriots' chief competition for the Super Bowl berth. That's what I think. I'm not sold on San Diego.
I think there's a guy
at head coach that's going to keep him from getting there. I think Norv Turner is a brilliant offensive mind. I don't think he's a head coach.
Certainly not a head coach that's won anything.
Well, that's what I mean. I think this is it for him. We're going to find out more, you know, next week.
Kind of like the last coach they had there.
Yeah, yeah.
Marty Schottenheimer.
Yeah.
Great. Well,
I think
coach during the regular season. Couldn't get it done in the postseason.
I think Schottenheimer's every bit the coach that Norv Turner is, probably more.
But he couldn't get it done either.
We'll save that, I guess, more for next week.
Sure.
You think the Ravens, though, will...
I think they play the Ravens in the AFC title game, beat them, and then beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl.
Falcons in the Super Bowl?
Yep.
Interesting. Mary Beth, I'm thinking 13 wins, 3 losses, I agree with. The thinking that the Pats do not play well in Denver, although I don't like it, I see them losing 1 to the Jets, and I think they'll lose to either Pittsburgh or Philadelphia on the road. We have added some talent to our squad while passing on some of our veterans. Hopefully the team will gel as they have in the past. I'm looking forward to a competitive season. 13-3, I think, would be imminently competitive.
be more than enough, I think, to win the number one seed.
Yikes. Daryl. John, it's very good to have you back. Thank you, Daryl. I've got the Pats at another 14-2 season, although I have full faith in his hoodedness's ability. I like that.
I've never heard that
his
before.
Hoodedness. I like that. Good, Daryl. We might have to use that. Can we steal it? We'll give you full credit. His hoodedness's ability to lead us to another perfect season. I do see us losing on the road to Philly. And there is always one game we have a tendency to stumble on. I do think we sweep the Jets, and we've game planned well against the Steelers in recent history. Welcome back. Good to be back.
Yeah, indeed.
Daryl says, sure thing, John. Thanks for the read. Okay. We'll give Daryl the credit, but we're stealing his hoodedness.
Yeah, I like it.
I like it. That works. It's better than saying his highness. You know, that's just kind of like, you know, that's not, yeah, it's been done. You know?
So. You would never hear me saying that either.
Why?
No reason.
I don't want to throw you under the bus. One of the things that we didn't get a chance to mention with Brian just a short while ago, because he got called off to Brian Daboll's press conference in Miami, the Dolphins today re-signed running back Larry Johnson. He was one of the final cuts for the Dolphins as they got down to their 53-man roster. I assume somewhat similarly to the Patriots letting go of Sammy Morris. You know, they decided to go with the younger players. In this particular instance, it was rookie running back Daniel Thomas. But from what we found out, bringing Johnson back, Thomas is hurt. Mm. He sat out practice yesterday, so that's one of the reasons we think why Johnson is back with the Dolphins. Now, I don't know what that means, if it means anything, for Monday night, because Reggie Bush is the starting tailback.
Yeah, unless Reggie Bush gets hurt and they have to, you know, rely on their backups, I don't think Johnson's going to play all that much of a role.
Johnson, you might recall, he sat out most of last year. He was released by the Redskins back in September.
Only thing I will say, though, is that the Dolphins have had success as an organization in the past with bringing back a running back who was one of the best in the league, who took some time off from the
Ricky
league.
Ricky Williams.
Yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't – don't completely discount it. Keep that in the back of your mind, on the back burner. But I don't think he's going to – I just don't think he's going to have a huge impact Monday night.
Probably not. But, I mean, especially when you get into short yardage situations where it – or maybe a goal-to-go situation, it wouldn't stun me to see Larry Johnson in there, because here's a guy that was known for his ability to pound it between the tackles. And he obviously, in his heyday with Kansas City, he ran very well.
Yeah.
He was hard to bring
down.
One of the
best in the league.
One of the reasons why, of course, though, that after 6 or 7 years, you see running backs like that start to burn out. Their legs are just gone. You know, they just don't have the ability because they've taken so much pounding, taken a huge beating. So we'll find out what kind of, you know, strength he might have left, but they may not need him for that. Bush is the guy. Bush is the one that'll get the start, but apparently it'll be Johnson now backing him up rather than the rookie Daniel Thomas on Monday night. So that's the latest that we have from the Dolphins. You had mentioned in practice today that no Sebastian Vollmer again, correct?
No, yeah, getting troubling. I'm curious to see how he's listed on the injury report in another hour and change here. But we haven't seen him since the Detroit game, I believe. And unfortunately, I don't remember seeing him have an issue in that game. He might have, because I don't – you know what? I need to go back, John. You know what? Do me a favor if you can.
Yeah.
Go to the PFW blog. And I need to go back and check my practice report. From the, what was the Tuesday before the Giants game, so that would have been August 30th. I need to check that day's practice. That was the one and only practice that week. It was post hurricane, and so they didn't have a Monday practice. Yeah, just click on the link there, and then we'll have to do a little search for. Scroll down a little bit there. And then on search archives, over on the right, select month, go to August.
Got it.
And I want to see, because I can't remember if he practiced that day or
right,
not.
Where was it? When was it?
Just keep going down.
Would have been
keep
in.
Going down. It would have been go up, up.
Right there?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, there we are.
Tuesday, 8:30. Where do we have for, let's see, notable absences?
Yeah, Ridley, Welker. Falk, Catani, Tarpinian, Cannon, Wendell. Dedrick
Brace.
Cunningham,
so
and Brace.
So he did practice.
So he did practice, yes.
Yeah. So he must have either suffered it in that practice or might have been like a lingering leftover thing from the Detroit game that he thought he could play through. So it okay. I just couldn't remember, and I could have sworn he did practice because I wasn't totally surprised he didn't play against the Giants because I figured, well, they're giving Solder all the time to play both sides of the line, both sides on, you know, tackle. But it didn't occur to me that there was anything wrong with him until this week when he wasn't practicing. So he did practice. I was right.
So aren't you usually?
More of a concern.
Yeah, aren't you usually?
Yeah.
But, okay.
You know, I'd like to confirm myself every now and then.
Fred sends this question via Facebook, and I wanted to toss this one out to you as well. He says, can you please explain to me why this team keeps a guy like Ross Ventrone around on this team? Nothing against him, but I don't see one bit of NFL potential in him. Could they not use that spot on another street free agent? I just don't get it.
Well, he's on the practice squad, first of all, so he's not occupying any 53-man roster. He's not going to be in a game anytime soon.
Correct.
Unless they elevate him and cut somebody else. So he's here for the purpose of helping the team practice. So obviously he does something in practice that they feel is beneficial to the team that is going out there on game day. His brother did the same thing for a couple of years, and I'm not sure if he's still in Cleveland or not.
He could be.
You know, he made a nice little career for himself for a guy who was an undrafted player out of a Division I AA school. Same thing with his little brother. I have no problem with the kid being here. I mean, they think he can play. You know, it's only for practice right now.
Right. So, I mean, it doesn't count against the 53.
No.
So that's why I'm saying, you know, first of all, they like a guy's ability to do what they want him to do.
Scout team
that's
stuff.
That's the whole reason the guy like Brandon Merriweather's gone is because he just wasn't doing, at least that we're led to believe, really what the team wanted him to do. They didn't think he was fitting into where they thought they were going. Mm. But number two, and this is the biggest reason of all, here's a guy that's really a scout team player. Or, you know, he's a special teams guy.
Special teams and scout team.
You know, if they need him in there, you know, for two or three plays defensively, they bring him in. But, you know, you need guys that are willing to, you know, be the kamikaze on special teams. And Ventrone is the kind of guy that can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's a little guy.
It's that simple.
But he's exactly Bob Sanders' size. Probably even a little bit bigger than Bob Sanders.
Yep.
And, you know, look at what Bob Sanders has done in his career.
He's done more than very well.
You know, I'm not saying that Ventrone is the same talent, but, I mean, just because he's a smaller guy doesn't mean he can't produce.
Right. Michael says via Facebook, my prediction is 13-3, but I'm not sure who they will lose to at this point. At this point, I would say the losses may come to Pittsburgh, the Giants, maybe Denver or the Eagles.
Well, you got to go through your list, Michael, like John and I did earlier.
We just went right through it.
Tick it off.
You know, I would say, you know, Pittsburgh at Philly and either the Jets or the Giants to me. I mean, or, you know, I think, you know, those are the likely three. It could end up being both. Like I said earlier, they end up stubbing their toe once, usually at least once, that, you know, they have no business doing that. Cleveland's the great example from a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
That would put them at 12-4. I still think 12-4 is going to be right there for the AFC East title. I think 12-4 will be right there. I don't think the Jets are going to be far off of that, certainly within a game of that.
Yeah, the team that doesn't win is going to be a wild card, though.
Right. I think the wild card definitely comes out of the AFC East. I don't think there's much doubt about that. But I think you're going to have to be 12-4 to think division title, which means, you know, home game in the opening round of the playoffs, if not a bye in the playoffs.
And hopefully the home playoff game means something this year.
Well, you hope.
Because it hasn't the last 2 years.
No.
They need to take advantage of getting the home field advantage.
That'll be a topic for about 3 months from now.
Well,
I
know, but.
Yeah. Alan says, John, I say 13-3 too, but I get there a different way than you, John. I say we beat the Steelers because that's a matchup nightmare for them, and we lose in Denver because we always seem to lose there unless we're giving up an intentional safety. However, I'm very nervous about this game on Monday against the Finns. It all depends on who scores first, in my opinion. But I will stick to 13-3, and that is me being overcautious. I believe this team can do something special this season. I can't believe I have the Jets being the team that stops our undefeated season. I think that will hurt more than the playoff loss did,
no,
but
it
is what it is.
No, it won't.
No, I don't see that either.
Never hurt less than regular season losses.
That playoff loss still hurts a lot of these guys, especially the ones, that were in it.
Yeah.
I mean, we got, 16, 17 new players in this roster over a year ago.
Yeah.
That's quite a bit of turnover. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. You know, 53 guys on this roster, is it 17, I think it is?
I thought it was 15 or 16.
Okay, maybe 16. But in 16 that area, or 17.
Though, in that neighborhood.
Guys on this team were not on this roster a year ago or last season that lost to the Jets in the playoffs. And for a contending team, I think that's a considerable amount of turnover.
The only, and I think we did the, we broke it down, and I think it was maybe 9 or 10 of them were rookies,
yes,
or first-year guys,
first year
guys, and the rest were
so the
veterans.
Team has gotten a little younger,
yeah,
from a year ago, so they're making the progress that I think they need to be making in terms of, you know, basically trying to
this
get this
has
team
been,
young.
And this has been a steady progression, John, because you remember they had 12 draft picks in 2009. They had 12 draft picks in 2010.
Right.
I think all of them made the team in one form or another, whether they were on the practice squad, injury list, active roster. Mm-hmm. They were all with the club in their first years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gotten significantly younger. There's only now, you can count on one hand the number of players who still have a Super Bowl ring.
That's right.
Well, let's do it now. Tom,
okay,
Brady. Matt Light.
Light is another one on the offensive line.
Dan Copen
has one.
Kevin Falk.
Falk has one.
And Vince Wilfork.
That's it?
That's it.
Nobody else defensively has a ring.
Well, Deion Branch.
From the Patriots.
Deion Branch
has one.
Has one. Okay, so that's
six.
Yeah. Sorry, I forgot about Deion.
Six guys. That's all. Out of 53.
Out of 61, really.
Out of 61 when
you
count
the practice
squad,
right?
Guys. Wow, that's amazing.
That's one-tenth of the team.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There ought to be enough hunger there in that locker room than if you only got six guys that have rings.
Mm-hmm. There better be. And a lot of those veterans, Ellis, Haynesworth, Ocho Cinco.
Sure. That's why they're here.
Around for, it's the only reason.
That's why they're here.
It's
they're here. They came to New England and have agreed to do whatever they've needed to do with their salaries because they want to win. That's why guys come to New England.
It's, you know what, and I'm glad you say that because it's still, when I think about it, when I stop and pause and think about it, it still amazes me that New England has become the Dallas Cowboys of this generation, the San Francisco 49ers of this generation, the old Pittsburgh Steelers. They've become the team that seasoned veterans come to win a Super Bowl. It's still just, you know, growing up watching this team be so terrible for so long, it still amazes me that they've gotten to this to this level, doesn't it?
It does.
Does it to you?
Yeah, a little bit. I think I've begun to kind of take it for granted, and I wish I hadn't. But I remember those, you know, dominating teams of the, you know, 70s and 80s. And to think that, you know, the Patriots really are that in a day and age where parity really rules over everything else,
yeah,
it should make it even more amazing. Sometimes we're too close to the forest, we can't see the trees.
Yeah.
And I think that's the case here. Let me wrap you up with one here. Joshua says, John, Patriots will go 13-3. I see them going 1-1 with the toe sniffers, the Jets.
Oh.
Philly, if Fat Albert decides to lay down on the field again while
really
they run around.
Hey.
And then another loss to a surprise team. Brady always seems to have Pittsburgh's number, so I don't think they'll lose that game. Wish it was Monday night already, go Patriots. He says, Pats 28, Miami 10. Pats defense will be too much for Henny, and Brady will be throwing the majority of his passes to Hernandez and Gronk. The Dolphins D doesn't have a player like that that can keep up with those guys.
Well, I owe you a roster prediction, as Josh just gave you. So I'm going to give that to you. I'm going to give that to you now before we go to the break.
Okay.
I told the guys at the end of PFW in progress that the Patriots are going to win by 10, and
yep,
I'll give you the exact number, 30
okay
to 20.
30 to 20?
Yes. And it'll be close for a little while, I think, because it's Miami's always a tough place for New England to play. They're only about 50-50 there since Tom Brady's been quarterback. So I think it'll be tough going in the beginning, especially with what it looks like now, an entire new right side of the offensive line. But they'll figure it out in time to get a nice little eke out a double-digit victory there, 30 to 20. Down in Miami.
Okay. I'll save my prediction score-wise for the end of the program.
Okay.
E, thanks. Have a safe trip down to Miami.
Thank you.
See you next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about it on Wednesday.
Okay, very good. All right, quick timeout here. Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, coming up in the playbook.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots.
Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
So, Carly.
Yeah?
Just a heads up. This Angus burger right here, I love it. So, I tend to stop talking when I eat it. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you. It's just I'll be checked out for 3 or 4 minutes.
Wait, what? I kind of stop listening when I eat a Big Mac.
I love you.
The classic, one-of-a-kind taste of the Big Mac sandwich and the big, bold taste of the Angus Third Pounder. So much flavor, you'll want to take your time with them. McDonald's, the simple joy of burgers. At participating McDonald's.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio. New Patriots Playbook. Did you click me on late? Kev.
I lied, too.
If you want me to come back in after the lyrics start, I don't have a problem with that. I just, you know, we got to get, you know, we got to be on the same page here.
I wanted to get to Russell quick, so I was okay. Rushing.
I lied. I didn't really leave yet.
I know you didn't because you wanted to say hello to Russell S. Baxter.
Yeah.
Russell, welcome back, my friend.
Good.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I am doing great. I'm so excited about tonight and so excited about this season. And to think that, you know, you and I kind of talked back and forth for the last 5 months and nervous at times with the lockout and, you know, admittedly nervous at times with the way the negotiations were going. But cooler heads prevailed. And, you know, a real shout out to the absolute class and integrity and that's shown by Mr. Robert Kraft. And through everything he was worth through personally and still be a big part of this, I don't think anybody could, I'll throw it out here now. Give him Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year.
Ooh. Wow.
Oh,
that would
that's
be
a good prediction.
That's a great.
I have no influence on such like that, but you know, that's kind of stuff that, you know, to see, we all go through personal things and, you know, I've been through the death of my parents. I've been through other tragedies. We all have gone through stuff like that.
Sure.
And maintain your focus. Have your wife to be such a big part of your life, and she obviously made an impact in this world, mm-hmm. and made an impact on him. And you know, in you know all the reports about her wanting him to do his job and get this thing done. I mean, you cannot be more impressed by that gesture, and obviously the love between those two. And I was so taken back by that. You know, the moment with him and Jeff Saturday when the deal was announced and so on. A real shout out to Mr. Kraft. And I'm not saying that because I'm appearing on Patriots Playbook. It impressed me from the get-go. And every time I see that moment, it really gets me emotionally.
It does. It's an emotional moment. And I would totally concur with that. Especially the gesture that Jeff Saturday, made. And I know that the guys here have talked about it. Rumor has it around here that you follow my friend here on Twitter.
That's the most exciting thing to me about the start of this season. That
yeah,
football guru is following at PFW Eric.
You know, following Scalamino now and so on. And I'm not literally following out of the room because I know he just left.
No, I'm still
here. No, he's right here.
I'm still here.
He wanted to talk to you. He didn't want to leave.
I didn't want to leave. Yeah. I had to say hello.
Eric, I'm following you now.
I know. I saw that.
I'm trying to become a tweeting maven, but
I have to step up my game.
For guys who like to throw out facts and somehow boil them down to 140 characters,
yep.
I'm having a blast doing it. I mean,
well, that's good.
I know people are not interested in what I'm having for lunch.
No.
Or
are you tweeting that stuff out?
My kids to school and all that stuff, and that's all in good fun.
Yeah.
And stuff for a person to me who loves statistics, I'm having a ball with Twitter.
Well, that's good, because if you start tweeting about your lunch, I'm not going to be able to follow you.
Eating a bunch of cheeseburgers.
I can't tweet about my lunch because that would involve me eating and typing at the same time, and that would.
And
be
you're focused on one thing each time.
For the keyboard and the shirt.
Absolutely.
I got it. No, you're a good man, Russell.
I love that. Fantastic. All right, so I want you now, Russell, to bring us up to date on your escapades, because obviously you've moved on with your career. Tell us about ProFootballGuru.com.
Well, ProFootballGuru.com is my blog, and I post a lot of stories that I do for other entities across the country, National Football Authority, FootballPros.com. I do my own blogging, and of course I've been doing Twitter now, kind of religiously for the last 5 or 6 months. I kind of slow getting on board with that, but we have regular features that I, send out on Twitter that are also on ProFootballGuru.com. There's also a Facebook page called Pro Football Guru. And if you like me and you want to like the page, you'll be able to see a lot of those features as well. Today is Thursday, so it's Thursday's teasers, and there's a little look ahead to some of the games. Tomorrow is a matter of fact. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, I
like
that.
You might see four or five interesting things here. And Saturdays, we have a thing called fantasy reality. It's not my hunches. It's more the numbers that go with fantasy football, the histories against teams and the trends against teams and so on. And then there's something up there every day. Wednesday's one of my favorite. We do a thing called history lesson, in which we take one of the matchups during the week and flash back to a memorable matchup between those teams historically. This past week, we did something about Tennessee and Jacksonville, because one of my favorite things I used to always hear was, it's hard to beat a team three times in one season. Well, go back to the 1999 season between Tennessee and Jacksonville, mm-hmm. and you'll show how indicative it was of how easy, per se, it was to beat a team three times. Well, in fact, the Jacksonville Jaguars only lost to one team that entire year, and they were 15-0 against the rest of the NFL. But they couldn't beat the Tennessee Titans, hence they couldn't get to the Super Bowl.
Wow. That's good stuff. All right, so now people want to follow you on Twitter. I'll let you give your Twitter address.
At Bax Football Guru.
All right, so that's at BAX Football Guru, all one word, right?
Yep, all set. And having a lot of fun with it. I haven't gotten really into answering a lot of questions yet, per se, but I think that's going to come once the games start and so on. And we'll be tweeting all day Sunday. We'll be tweeting tonight during the game. We'll be tweeting Monday night. We're just going to be tweeting. And, observations, the beauty of being able to watch all these games at the same time, it's a lot of fun. And I'm telling you, I'm like, when I lose the kid in the candy store mentality that I have when it comes to the National Football League, that's when I'll start writing cookbooks and stuff about my daughter and my wife and so on. But right now, it is, let's play some football, and what better way to kick off with, and people don't think of it this way, John.
Yeah.
A pair of second-place teams.
That's right. That's
right.
Scoring
off at Lambeau Field tonight. They also just so happened to be the last two defending Super Bowl champions.
That's right. Two divisional second-place teams a year ago, but also the last two Super Bowl champs. That's an excellent analogy. Saints-Packers tonight, Thursday night, kicking it all off. The Packers, Russell, honestly, they didn't make a lot of noise, but did they have to make a lot of noise in the offseason?
Well, you always get to add, what are the key additions for a team and what are the key departures for a team?
Yeah.
The key additions for the Packers' team was being able to go on their injured reserve list and take some of those guys off of it, like a JerMichael Finley, like a Ryan Grant, like a Morgan Burnett.
Right.
I mean, I think they wound up with 15 guys on IR last year. They really didn't sign anybody. And yet they got hot at the right time, which has been the trend in the NFL. Hence, we've seen these wild card teams three of the last 6 years win the Super Bowl. They got hot at the right time. I point out to the turning point of their season, John. I don't know if you agree with me or not. It was a game they lost up in Foxborough.
Sure.
And it was with Tom Flynn as the quarterback. There was no Aaron Rodgers. And they outplayed the Patriots that night, give it for a costly interception and a 71-yard kickoff return by Dan Connolly. But they really showed what they were all about as far as a team. Then they turned around and beat the Giants handily. They eked out the Bears, and then they went on their run. And it showed that they were a deep and confident team, even though they didn't have all their parts. Now a lot of those parts come back, and it'll be very interesting to see if they can repeat as Super Bowl champions. We haven't had a repeat Super Bowl champion since the 03 and 04 Patriots, but I'm kind of leaning that way, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I have to admit, I kind of am too. It's hard. I always ascribe to the old school theory of the champ deserves to be champ until the champ is knocked off.
And yeah, until champions until the throned person.
Yes.
And that's right to me. Green Bay and Pittsburgh are the respective champions until they're knocked off. They are the champions.
They probably...
I go with that as well. You're old school like me.
Yeah, yeah. I have to admit, I'm kind of leaning that route. By the way, before we kind of move on with some of the other games, I'm sure you've probably seen this, but the breaking news from Indianapolis that Peyton Manning had a second surgery on his neck today, and that Jim Irsay is saying he's out, quote, a while. That's, to me, I don't know how long a while's going to be, but that certainly, if he's gone for an extended period of time, and my guess would be this is going to be an extended period of time. Does that put Indianapolis in the ranks of also-rans?
Well, it puts them right behind the eight ball because of the way they have built their football team. They are very, very dependent on him. And, I throw out these numbers all the time, John. 31, 32, and 29. Now, that is not the last three games in the points scored by the Colts. That's the rank of their rushing offense the last 3 years. 31st, 32nd. And improved to 29.
Wow.
They are a very dependent football team on throwing the football. And, they've kind of gotten, we don't see the Edger and James days anymore when they were a lot more balanced. And listen, Peyton's always been a big part of that offense. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a balance. And remember, when they won the Super Bowl in 06, I always made the case that, Joseph Addai and Dominique Rhodes should have been co-MVPs in that game in the rain against Chicago and Miami. That's not to knock Peyton Manning, but they were really a big part of that game, not only running but catching the football. And the Colts have gotten away from that balance. Look at the Saints last year. They were a balanced football team in 2009 when they won the Super Bowl. Last year they got away from it. I was talking to somebody this morning. It was a year ago today that the Saints were playing the Vikings in the Thursday night kickoff opener,
mm-hmm.
but they were defending Super Bowl champions.
Right.
And I'll never forget it, John. The Saints were trailing at the half. They had run the ball three times in a half of football.
Mm.
Three times. They got back to it in the second half, but they never really, really recaptured it last year. And some of it was injury, but some of it was design. And you wonder why Drew Brees went from 11 interceptions to 22?
Yeah.
Because the difference of throwing when you want to and throwing when you have to
is
a
right.
totally different thing.
Right.
And, they threw when they wanted to a little too much. And, the Saints defense couldn't hold up. But, it's just going to be very, very interesting to see the Colts and how they can change their method of attack. And look at Kerry Collins. And a number I'll throw out for you as well. Kerry Collins played with the running back, Chris Johnson, the last 3 years in Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
who has over 500 more yards rushing in that three-game span
right.
than the Colts do as a team the last 3 years.
Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. And of course, it really didn't benefit Tennessee all that much. Kerry Collins is not in Tennessee anymore, so.
No, not at all. No, Bill Polian is the first player he drafted when he was in Carolina. He's the first ever pick of the Carolina Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Manning's the first ever pick for Polian when he's in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
But Kerry is a different quarterback than Peyton Manning. Kerry is not an offensive coordinator, head coach, ambassador to, take your pick. Peyton Manning is one of the pivotal figures in this league. And the fact that we have never, the last time the Colts didn't play a game and had Peyton Manning, Jim Harbaugh was the quarterback, the last game of the 1997 season. So, we've never seen the Colts team since Peyton got there without Peyton Manning. And, like I said, they've become more and more and more dependent on him the last couple of years. And, this isn't handball and it's not tennis. This is not a one-man show. And it's going to be interesting to see how they alter their attack when they play the Houston Texans this weekend.
Well, the Texans certainly have a lot of pressure on them to win and win now. Gary Kubiak is certainly under the gun for all the right reasons, I think, because, there's a lot of expectations there. This team seems to have built up slowly over the last couple of years. They kind of fell flat last year. This is their opportunity. It's carpe diem now for the Texans, especially with Manning out for a while. The Texans are a 9-point favorite at home against the Colts on Sunday. I don't see how they can possibly blow this one.
Well, first off, I love when you speak French, just so you know.
Is that what that was?
I remember some guy coming on your show last year and actually picking the Houston Texans to get to the Super Bowl.
That would be you.
I don't know if he's going to be coming back on this year,
yeah.
But yeah, maybe you might want to talk to him in advance. But the time is now. Listen, I'll go a little bigger picture here for a minute, John. Look at the AFC South and what we have seen, like, within the last month. David Garrard is now gone in Jacksonville.
Yeah, yeah.
Arian Foster is iffy this week for the Houston Texans,
mm-hmm.
although they have a pretty deep, Steve Slayton is there, and Ben Tate, who missed last year as a rookie, but they had a great preseason, and so on. Chris Johnson was a holdout all summer, although, he should be up to snuff. And, of course, the Titans have a new head coach. And a new quarterback, Matt Hasselbeck.
Mm-hmm.
The AFC South, in the span of a couple of weeks,
made itself
the
over.
Season with Tennessee,
yeah.
is really taking on a dramatically different look.
Sure.
And you have to think that the Houston Texans, even though they were 6-10 last year, are the favorite. No one's more balanced on offense. Wade Phillips this year with the defense. Mario Williams standing up as a right outside linebacker. The time is now. It's their 10th anniversary. This would be a nice present.
I agree. Totally agree with that. Let's go back and look at a couple of the divisional games, as you and I have done in the past. Usually when we meet on Thursdays and talk a little football, we also like to look at what the Patriots' divisional opponents are doing each week. Let me start with the Buffalo Bills playing at the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm of the opinion that the Bills could end up still being one of the worst teams in the NFL. They got to start on the road against the Kansas City team that still feels like it's got to have it's got to prove something this season, that last year wasn't an aberration. Can the Bills make any headway here?
Well, they keep on giving away talent that they like they did this offseason. I think at one time in less than a calendar year, John, they've given away five guys who they had drafted in the first round.
By trade.
Free agency, cut them, from the Marshawn Lynch trade to the Lee Evans trade. Marshawn Lynch was obviously last October.
Right.
But I'm saying within a calendar year. Dante Whitner is now gone. McCargo is now gone. You just can't keep on doing that.
I can't imagine what our fans would say if the Patriots had given away five top draft picks like that in the span of a couple of years. I mean, we had enough, people mentioned the fact that when Brandon Merriweather was ditched, we said goodbye to the 2007 class. I mean, and yeah. I think most fans realize that 07 and 08 were not good draft years for the mm-hmm. Patriots, but they picked themselves up the last couple of years.
Yeah, and that's funny. I remember talking about the 07 draft because, they basically had nine picks that year, and
right.
Brandon Merriweather was really the only one who ever contributed.
Right.
And that didn't hurt them in 07. It hurts you. Your draft class hurts you two or three years down the road
mm-hmm.
when you're a team like the Patriots, because those are the guys you're expected to develop. But anyway, let's go back to the Bills. We're not talking about draft classes. We're talking about first-round picks. These are the guys who you think the most of.
Right.
And, they're no longer with the team. And you wonder why they have not made the playoffs since 1999, which is tied with the Lions for the longest drought. And then they go to Kansas City. And the Bills last year, for people who don't know, were dead last in the league against the run last year.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going into Kansas City and playing a team that was number one running the football.
Yep.
So I wonder what the game plan was. I'm going to try and guess. let me think about it for about 6 seconds.
Run the football.
but I will say this. The Bills made a concentrated effort, at least on the defensive side, to get ball better. Marcel Darius looks like a player in their new 3-4. So I think it'll be interesting, and I think this could be one of those games, and I think the Chiefs will win, but it also could be one of those games that if the Chiefs let the Bills hang around long enough, it's one of those games that the Bills could steal on the road. Let's keep something in mind about the Bills last year. They were 0-8, and then they went 4-4, although in their last two games, they got whacked 72-10 and turned over the ball 13 times in a two-game span.
Right.
I mean, it was not a good showing to close out the year. But they lost in overtime at Baltimore last year. They lost at home in overtime to Pittsburgh last year. They lost at overtime at Kansas City last year. More times than not, they were in games. But like I said, the Chiefs, bit of a surprise themselves last year. If they let the Bills hang around, I think they could wind up getting nipped at the wire. but we'll see. I kind of lean toward Kansas City. I know they have their own, you know, new offensive coordinator this year, you know, trying to repeat, which is never easy as a division champion, especially when you got San Diego hanging around in the AFC West. But it's an intriguing game. I'll be curious to see Buffalo's front seven on Sunday. That's going to be one unit I'm going to be watching.
The other divisional opponent that will be playing this weekend gets the feature game on Sunday night on NBC with the Dallas Cowboys playing at the New York Jets. And, you know, certainly Patriots fans feel like the Jets are going to be formidable. And I think most people feel like the Jets are formidable. This is an opportunity for the Cowboys, though, I think, to perhaps announce that they're back a little bit. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the matchup here to be watching is the Jets passing game, which we don't, you know, we don't talk a lot about the Jets passing game. We talk more about who the Jets have as receivers than we do actually their passing game. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because they usually, you know, last year they had Braylon Edwards and Antonio Holmes. This year, of course, they really have a nice mixture. They've got a burner in Holmes, who is obviously former Super Bowl MVP and a pretty good player. Derek Mason, a real veteran guy who, you know, late of Baltimore. And, of course, Plaxico Burress, who's one of the more interesting stories of this offseason. He hasn't played football since 2008, and now he makes a return. Dallas has some issues in his secondary. We know that. The feeling here, though, is Dallas has a very young offensive line.
Yes.
Now, the Jets have also made some changes along their defensive line, where they don't have a veteran like Sean Ellis around anymore. You know, they don't have now. Chris Jenkins has been injured the last 2 years. He's now retired, so they've played a lot of football without him, but he's not there anymore. I mean, it's interesting to see how Dallas's offensive line, which is no Andre Garrod, no Leonard Davis, no Mark Colombo, four changes along that line. That to me is the matchup. I will tell you this: Felix Jones looked pretty dynamic during the preseason, and again, it's the preseason, but you know, that's what you have to go by. It's not like none of us were running around looking at watching them in OTAs this year, okay, because there were none. But I'm kind of, at least in this matchup, I'm leaning toward the Cowboys. I think the Jets will have a better year when it's all said and done, although I expect to see both of these teams in the playoffs, as a matter of fact. But Sunday night, I'm kind of leaning toward the Dallas Cowboys to get off to a good start. The one thing we know about Jason Garrett, when he was a coordinator in the first half of last season, there wasn't much running game going on. And when he took over as head coach, all of a sudden they became a power football team. And I think they're going to try and pick up where they left off with a young offensive line this week.
Okay. So in the battle of the Ryans, Rob Ryan obviously with Dallas, his brother Rex, the head coach of the Jets, you're actually kind of sitting on the Cowboys here.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, Rob Ryan goes in, and you want to talk about a guy who's got his work cut out for him?
Yep.
2 years ago, the 2009 season, John, the top two teams in the league in points allowed were, ironically, the Jets and the Cowboys. Jets won, Cowboys two. The Cowboys plummeted to 31st last year.
Hmm.
Only the Broncos gave up more points than the Dallas Cowboys last year. It was almost a 200-point markup. And that's just amazing. DeMarcus Ware led the league in sacks, but he had almost half of the team's total. They didn't get a lot of takeaways. That defense was just as responsible for the team's bad season as, you know, Tony Romo being hurt and the other problems as well. So it'll be interesting to see how Rob Ryan gets this unit to gel. I think he will, but I think this is going to be a Dallas running game, old-fashioned style football, enough passes to the tight end. I'll be curious to see Dez Bryant in his second season, and I think the Jets will score points, don't get me wrong. Because I think they'll get some matchup. Terrence Newman doesn't look like he's playing in this game, which against that three wide receiver set could be a problem. But I'm kind of leaning toward Dallas in this first game.
Wow. So many other games, though, to choose from. And I think realistically we could look at all of them because it is week one. But I did want to kind of like, you know, focus in on a couple. In the AFC, two teams that certainly are going to be right up at the top, contenders. When all is said and done, Steelers playing at the Ravens. That's one that's got my attention, I think, on Sunday.
Yeah, and it's been an interesting, it's been an interesting 3 years for Joe Flacco and John Harbaugh, who have been to the playoffs all 3 years since they got to Baltimore. But they still haven't won the division. They've lost out to Pittsburgh twice and Cincinnati once. So it's not just we can't get past Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
But Joe Flacco has had his issues against the Steelers. We do know that. He's played him 8 times, including the playoffs. How's this for numbers? 13 turnovers and sacked 29 times.
Wow. And over how many games, Russell?
That's 18.
8 games. Good grief.
Yeah. And no bigger turnover than last year in that game in Baltimore when it looked like the Ravens, who were controlling the Steelers' offense, dropped back to pass late in the game. Polamalu, strip sack, sets up a touchdown by Roethlisberger to Isaac Redman. They both finished 12-4. That game kind of swung, and the Steelers wound up hosting the playoff game against Baltimore. Of course, Baltimore blew a 2-touchdown lead at Pittsburgh in that game. So that's the number to watch. Flacco's turnovers and the sacks. And, of course, Ben Roethlisberger, which people don't realize. Ben Roethlisberger has beaten the Ravens, including the playoffs, 7 times in a row. The times that the Ravens have beaten the Steelers the last couple of years, Dennis Dixon was a quarterback 1 game. Charlie Batch was a quarterback 1 game. And as big as that Polamalu play was last year on the strip sack, John, I'm sure you remember on that game-winning touchdown drive, which wasn't really a drive, but the first play of that drive, Ben Roethlisberger managed to pull himself away from Terrell Suggs.
Yeah, I remember.
And avoid a huge sack and pitch the ball out of bounds. And the fact that Suggs couldn't get Roethlisberger back, I mean, remember the Steelers were down 10-6. They weren't settling for a field goal. So that was an enormous play, and I think it was kind of a play that epitomized Ben, and I think it, in some ways, reestablished himself as one of the leaders on the team. Let's not forget how the Steelers season started last year. Ben Roethlisberger was away from the team for the first month after being suspended by the league.
Sure. They came back very strong. By the way, I wanted to interject this because it just got tweeted by your buddy Chris Mortensen and then retweeted by Adam Schefter. Peyton Manning, cervical fusion, 2 to 3 month minimum recovery, but no word if he's going to be put on IR.
No word. I would guess the key word would be maybe yet. So
yet.
That's really a shame. That's,
sure. They have 6 weeks to play with, right?
Right. Right.
So
look at it, John. It says out 2 to 3 months minimum, and the season lasts, 4.5 months?
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens here with the Colts.
Well, it depends on how well he's able to respond to early treatment, whether or not he's able to work out. I mean, they'll keep him on the PUP, but then they got to make a decision by week 7. So,
right.
You know, then it's, you know what, or get off the pot, one or the other. All right, let's also then take a quick look at one other game. Next week's opponent for the Patriots, and again, potentially a contender in the AFC, the San Diego Chargers. They're at home. They open the season up against the Minnesota Vikings. So we get a little NFC-AFC matchup to watch for if you're a Pats fan this weekend.
Yeah, not a lot of them. Dallas and the Jets and San Diego, Minnesota, the only 2 interconference games this week.
Two good games. Two very good games.
Yeah, it's a very intriguing game. I mean, San Diego, it's opening day. It's not that like they always have problems on opening day, but they always come out of the gate slow, and they certainly have the last 4 years under North Turner, and gotten hot late, and then still managed to get in the playoffs. Although last year they dug themselves too big of a hole, they were 2-5 and 9-7 and didn't make it, I smile at this matchup because I don't know if you remember the last time these teams played, which was 4 years ago.
Mm.
Adrian Peterson ran for 296 yards,
right,
and set an NFL record.
NFL record, yes, okay.
For rushing yards in the game.
I couldn't remember if it was that long ago, but I guess it would have had to have been, yeah.
Yeah, and of course there was also Antonio Cromartie, of course, is now with the New York Jets. But he picked up a missed field goal and returned it 109 yards for a touchdown, which is still the longest play in the history of this league. So the two teams don't play each other very often, but I'm sure that's worthy of a flashback or two around the TV this weekend and so on.
No question.
The good news for the Minnesota for me was the fact that amidst last year's, for lack of a better word, John, craziness between Brett Favre not being able to hang on to the ball and eventually missing games, which we had not seen, to the problems with the stadium, to the slow start, to Brad Childress being fired. I mean, it was a disaster in Minnesota last year in every sense of the word. And, now in comes Donovan McNabb. But go back to Adrian Peterson for a second. You remember he took a lot of heat for his performance in the NFC Championship game, even though, you know, ultimately Brett Favre threw a very costly interception because of Adrian's fumbling. Well, Adrian Peterson only fumbled the ball one time last year. He lost it, but he only had one fumble. He worked very hard to rectify that, and I think he's still, if he's not the best running back in the league, then, you know, just flip-flop between him and Chris Johnson. I think it's really kind of between those two. And I expect him to have another big year, and it'll be really interesting to see Donovan McNabb with a ground game like that, because he's never had, he never really had that in Philadelphia. They certainly didn't have that with the Redskins last year. It'll be interesting to see Donovan McNabb in a running game. Remember, he used to be the Eagles' running game.
Sure, sure.
When he was a lot younger.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting, and I will say this, Minnesota is now in a division that looks pretty stacked. The Lions are definitely coming, and, you know, the Bears and the Packers were in the NFC Championship game last year, so there's a lot to be said for that.
Chargers are favored by 9 at home. Do they win this one?
I think they do. Like I said, you know, they're loaded as far as offense. They had the number one offense in the league last year. They had the number one defense in the league in rankings, and I think their special teams are ranked
dead last.
45th. Out of a 32-team, I mean,
worse than dead last.
Four,
yeah.
Four punts blocked. They gave up four kick returns for scores. That's not including the botched field goals. I mean, it was one comedic effort after another when it came to their special teams. For people who don't think special teams matter, if they do just avoid three or four of those things, they probably win 12 games last year. But they didn't, and I think it's an area. And I actually have some interesting high hopes for the San Diego Chargers this year, because based on the fact that I don't think they could possibly play that bad on special teams again, I think it'd be an interesting year for North Turner and company.
All right, well, that's going to bring us then full circle to the Monday night game the Patriots fans just can't seem to wait enough long enough for, is the debut at Sun Life Stadium in Miami against the Dolphins. First of two actual Monday night games. You have the Raiders and the Broncos going to get a nightcap in on Monday to open up and actually wind up week one of the NFL season. But the Patriots get the 7 o'clock kickoff in Miami. It traditionally has not been a good place, as Patriots fans undoubtedly are very well aware, has not been a good place for the Pats to play. In spite of the fact that they romped there last year, in spite of the fact that three of the last four games that Tom Brady has been there, he's actually played statistically pretty well. Although overall, when you look at his career, he's got a losing record playing at Sun Life Stadium. And so the Dolphins have an inordinate amount of pressure on them, I think, Russell, because they lost 7 of 8 at home. Tony Sparano may be hanging on to his job literally by the skin of his teeth. They've made themselves over. They brought in a former Patriot assistant and Brian Daboll now to run the offense. And the tension is squarely on Chad Henne. It seems to me that one of two things are going to happen. That either the Dolphins are going to wilt or they're going to melt under the bright lights of the spotlight, because there's going to be a lot of pressure on them, or with all the pieces to the puzzle that they've put in there, they're going to shock the heck out of some people. Which do you kind of side with?
I think maybe somewhere in between. And by the way, the Patriots actually won their three of their last four games down there.
Okay.
You know, Matt Castle won down there in 08.
Yes, that's true.
Of course, in 07, they didn't lose a game, so...
I just kind of discount 08 just because it was, you know, was without Brady. Taking nothing against Matt Castle, I just sort of discount that. So,
no, but I mean, listen, I certainly do remember that. You know, that they went down there in 2006, and it was a good year for the Patriots, and not a great year for the Dolphins. And remember, they got shut out, and Jason Taylor.
Yeah.
Jason Taylor was the one person that used to really give Tom Brady a hard time, and I know Jason's back in Miami. Okay, but, you know, Jason Taylor is not Jason Taylor anymore. He's kind of bounced around the league the last couple of years, and that's not a knock on Jason Taylor, because age catches up with all of us and so on.
Right.
But at one time, he's a guy who's former defensive player of the year, and, you know, the Dolphins' defense depends on different people now, okay? You know, like Cameron Wake, who was a, you know, big undrafted free agent, wound up in the Pro Bowl last year, won league leaders in sacks and so on. So, it's much different. It's a much, much different Miami team. Their defense is good, but a little inconsistent. Their offense is inconsistent. You know, they had trouble scoring points last year. You know, the Dolphins last 2 years in a row now, the Dolphins have been 7-6 with three games to go and went into a three game tailspin each year. And, Chad Henne has had a problem with interceptions. you hit the nail on the head. It's almost like they wanted to spend the offseason trying to get rid of Tony Sperano.
Yeah.
They were kind of courting and flirting with Jim Harbaugh for a little while. So, you know, it seems like listen, this is a division that's dominated by the Jets and the Patriots, and more by the Patriots than the Jets, because even though the Jets get to the AFC Championship game, they still haven't won the division since 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it seems like we're kind of relegated in the AFC East, and Miami and Buffalo kind of battling for third and fourth spot. I kind of like what Eric said earlier today. I kind of look at this being a close game for a little while. And just because New England has more firepower than Miami, them kind of pulling away, and like a 34-21 game with New England winning it. I mean, I just don't think Miami has a lot of, unless Tom Brady and company go down there and turn over the ball three or four times, and let's not forget, this was a team that had 10 turnovers in 16 regular season games last year, which was an NFL record.
Right.
We just talked about the Bills having 13 turnovers in two games. The Patriots had 10 in 16 games.
Right, and the Dolphins had a franchise low 19 takeaways last year as well, so that's a defense that doesn't turn teams over.
Right, yeah. I mean, they were good with yards, respectable, I think 40 sacks. But when you get sacks, it's like San Diego. San Diego, I think, had 47 sacks last year, but was not forcing a lot of turnovers. You've got to, you know, when you hit the quarterback, you've got to get the ball to come out more times, you know, as many times as possible, and turn those into big play and shorten the field. And, you know, I don't think people realize how good the Patriots were at that last year in terms of, they were plus 28 in turnover differential, not just because of their turns. If you're plus 28, that means you forced 38 turnovers. That's a pretty hefty total.
Yeah.
In a 16 game season. So the Patriots that had to do that, I just think it's a good team against a better team. And I think New England kicks off the season in fine style.
Yeah, the one thing that worries me, and we talked about this in the opening hour, is the fact that the Patriots seem to be a little thin right now on the offensive line. You could potentially have two new players on the right side of your line, which could lead to, you know, the potential for Miami to put some pressure on Brady. Brady, by the way, and I know you know this, you're as well aware of this as anybody, has got his streak of 335 consecutive regular season passes without an interception intact going into the game.
Right. Yes, he does, and again, that's why I think this will be an adjustment game for Bill Belichick, and that's why I think it's a game where the Patriots, you know, maybe pull away a little later and so on. I could very easily see being 24-21 New England, you know, midway through the fourth quarter, and then getting a little breathing room and so on, because I just don't, Miami struggles to put points on the board. I mean, they can move the ball at times, but you know, this is going to be a new look Miami offense too. Gone are Ricky Brown and Ricky Williams. Ronnie Brown is in Philadelphia. Ricky Williams is in Baltimore. You know, you get Reggie Bush down there, and I'm reading now that Daniel Thomas, their rookie, is banged up, and it looks like Larry Johnson is coming back, who signed with them during the summer. So it sounds like he might be around for Monday night. Miami's going to have to turn over New England at least four times to win this game Monday night.
Wow. All right, we're going to keep that in mind.
I just do. I think that's what they, and if they can turn it over four times and turn that into 20 points, I mean, that'll bode well for them. But getting New England turn over the ball four times is obviously a tall task.
Russell, it's great to visit with you again. Welcome back to the new season. We welcome you back with open arms here in the playbook, and we look forward to visiting with you every week here.
You got it, John. I'm already looking forward to tonight and talking about week two so we can start, you know, like eliminating teams and you know, telling their seasons. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, everything's
no,
all
great.
Everything's
great to talk to you again, and it's going to be a blast this year.
You got it. Thanks, Russell. Appreciate it.
You got it, John.
Talk to you next week. Yeah, everything's over after 2 weeks, right? Doesn't happen that way. Russell Baxter from ProFootballGuru.com. You can check him out at ProFootballGuru.com. You can also find his Facebook page, which is Pro Football Guru, and like it, and then you'll be right there with all of the nice, great little tidbits that he sinks in there. And then you can follow him on Twitter, at BaxFootballGuru, B-A-X. Football Guru, G-U-R-U. You can follow him on Twitter, and he'll join us each and every Thursday right here in the playbook. Sneak in a timeout. We come back and finish up with some emails. Get you ready for Pete Shepard right here in the playbook.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots.
Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revise.
Cool.
You have to fly to China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
I was just going to say, an excellent choice of lead-in songs, Kev, because I had the sweet emotion of having one of those Texas toast sandwiches from Dunkin' Donuts this morning. I never do that. It's always like, I had a cup of coffee and I got to go, right? I had the big and toasty today. Oh, my goodness.
It's a man's sandwich.
It is, and it's outstanding. And I'm not saying that because Dunkin' Donuts is a sponsor.
Texas toast in itself is a meal.
Friggin' excellent is all I'm going to say, okay? All right. That's all I'm going to say. So I had some sweet emotion going this morning, man. It was awesome.
You'll have some sweet emotion going later tonight, if you know what I mean.
No, I don't think it's too sweet. All right. We wrap up the program here. I want to take a look at, you know, the series between Miami and New England, as Russell and I were talking about toward the tail end of our conversation. Yes, the Patriots have won three of the last four times they played down there, but I think Patriots fans are well aware of the fact that traditionally this is a trouble spot. 92nd meeting all time between the Patriots and Dolphins, a series in which Miami has won 50. The Patriots have won 41. Now, since Bill Belichick has been head coach of the Pats, when he became head coach of the Pats in 2000, Patriots have a mere 13-9 edge against the Dolphins. Since Tom Brady has been the starting quarterback, Miami has beaten him more times than any other team in the division. He's 12-6 against Miami. Conversely, he's 13-4 against the Jets and 17-1 against Buffalo. So just to kind of throw a few things out there, this is still a difficult place. Add to this the fact that the Patriots and Dolphins have met 15 times in prime time, which obviously Monday night is considered prime time. The two teams are 5-5 in Monday night football games overall. 5-5. 9 of the 10 Monday night football games have been played in Miami. 9 of the 10. So this will be 10 of the 11. And the Dolphins hold a 5-4 advantage in the Monday night games played in Miami over the Patriots. Just saying. All time in Miami, the Patriots have a record of 13 wins and 33 losses. Just saying. Before we get all giddy and, you know, all like, oh, yeah, mail it in for a win, I just think you need, there are some things you have to consider. There's a reason why these marks are the way they are, because it has been a difficult place to play. Now, clearly, what happened back in 1987 matters nothing to what will happen this Monday night. What happened last year also, when the Patriots kicked the crap out of the Dolphins, by, you know, a rather resounding score of 41-14. What happened last year matters nothing to what will happen this year. It's just that you treat each year as it is an island unto themselves, and each year you go into it thinking this is a tough place to play. It could be, it's potentially, could be more difficult because, you know, you usually don't play Miami early in the year when it's hot and humid, you know, down in South Beach. They don't usually open up with Miami. If you look at the last few schedules, they'll play the Jets early. They'll play the Bills early. They usually don't play Miami this early in the season, especially week one. They have that this year. Okay, I'm just throwing some, you know, cold water on you before you, you know, you get all hot and bothered over, you know, thinking about how big the Patriots are going to win. I'm just saying we need to consider these things. And we talked a little bit about this on yesterday's show. Fact is that the Dolphins are a very desperate football team for week one going into the season. 7-9 a year ago. Lost 7 of 8 at home. Fans are grumbling. Coach keeps his job by the hair on his chinny chin chin. They got a new look on offense. Yes, it's the same Chad Henne, and I think that's really going to be the deciding factor in whether or not Miami can not only win on Monday, but have any success overall this year. What kind of quarterback is Chad Henne going to be? They're going to be capable on defense. As Russell told us, I'm not sure they can slow down the Patriots for four quarters. But they're going to be adequate enough. Cameron Wake was 3rd in the NFL in sacks last year. 14 sacks last year. He's probably going to get a couple on Monday night, especially if he's coming around from the end that the Patriots have less experience. I think we all know it could be that right side of the offensive line. That will keep them in the game, but can they sustain it? And can Chad Henne pitch them to a win? Russell said if they turn the Patriots over 3 or 4 times, they can win the game. Question is, can they turn the Patriots over 3 or 4 times? And can they keep from being turned over by a New England team that led the AFC in turnovers and led the NFL in turnover differential, as we have documented many, many times? So that's where the question comes in. That's where the intrigue comes in. Michael sends this on Facebook. He says, John, I think I'm making too big a deal about the age factor. Part of the problem with last year's loss to the Jets is that the young players didn't have the experience to adapt during the game. The veterans they brought in want to win it all. There's a good mix this year. I don't think I'm making too big of a deal at all. What I'm pointing out is that this team is getting younger, and that is a good thing. You don't want to have, you know, a roster full of Methuselahs here. You don't want to have the oldest team in the league. You want to be 16th. I mean, to me, you want to be right in the middle of the pack. You don't want to be too young. You don't want to be too old, long in the tooth. We complain. Patriots fans, how soon we forget. 2 years ago at this time, we're talking about how old this team is. It had to get younger. That was one of our cheap complaints. That was one of our biggest nitpicks of the whole year. You talk about nitpick Tuesdays. Every Tuesday, we're talking about this team not being young enough, not being fast enough, not exploding to the football enough. So they're making strides. They went from one of the oldest teams in the league, the oldest team in the league a couple of years ago, to third to ninth this year. That's moving in the right direction. It's not a big deal, but it is part of the equation. It's just part of the equation. All right, let me finish up here with some emails. Stephen Canton. NFL is a copycat league. Teams will look at what the Jets did defensively to the Pats in the playoffs and duplicate it, specifically taking the horizontal passing game away, daring this team to go vertical. Have the Pats done enough to adjust to teams playing this way? The tight end down the seams is really their go-to vertical threat. Receivers have not proven they can get behind the D. I agree with that, Stephen. Are we whistling past the graveyard here? We might be. This is where Chad Ochocinco is going to prove his worth, I think, ultimately. Steve says, I think 13-3 is a reality. Losses come to the Jets, San Diego, and Eagles. Ooh, so you think the Patriots lose the home opener? Interesting, Stephen. We might have to discuss this again next week. Lucas says, John, great to have you back. I'd like to know, according to your opinion, which running scheme is best fit for the law firm. What kind of running scheme do you expect BB will run against the Finns? What are we talking about scheme-wise? You know, it's a one-back offense. Then Jarvis Green-Ellis will start. You'll see Danny Woodhead in there on third downs primarily. You'll probably see him in there on earlier downs as well, depending upon the defensive front the Dolphins are showing. If they're really spreading out and trying to get around the end, guess who's going to gouge it up the middle? Woodhead. So just be ready for that. Lucas also says, all right, here's my set list of wins. I'm going to just kind of go through the run here, but I'm not going to just mention it all. He says, good football team. There are chances for 14-2, 15-1, even 16-0 regular record. But he says minimum 14-2. And he says, John, Ocho's going to get it going. He's just stressing over the tough plays of the playbook. I don't know. I don't think the playbook is it, guys. I really don't. Randy played basic football in 2007. Ocho can dominate the short route all day long. He's just focusing too much, much too much, on the complex aspects of the game. So you're saying we got to dumb it down for him? Is that what we're saying here? Jeez, I hope not. Biff that one. I love how spam gets in here. Gene in Daytona. I have watched all the Miami preseason games, and Cameron Wake has an odd technique for getting around the edge. He uses the tackle or tight end's height as a disadvantage by running low to the ground with one hand on the ground. Blocker cannot get underneath him, has to fall on him, thus tackling him. The only way to stop him is to put a short running back to chip him. You know, I think that's interesting. I think we have one of those short running backs to chip him. What do you think, Pete?
I agree. I talked. Funny brings that up, and I don't know if you listened to the conversation I had with Jeff Darlington yesterday for the Miami Herald, but that's what we were talking about. That I asked him what a special player Cameron was. He brought that up, that exact same technique that Cameron has. So yeah, he said, and it's tough to chip him too. I mean, despite they do have the running,
he's low to the ground.
He's one of those guys that's a pain in the butt. You've got to pay attention to him, he can do damage.
We got a running back who's low to the ground that can match that.
That's it. automatic. Absolutely automatic.
So there might be an opportunity, as the earlier email asked about, you know, what kind of a running scheme we might see. There might be more time back there for a guy like Woodhead. There might be.
They have Danny sometimes lined up in a slot. I've seen him as go in motion as a, I mean, he, you know, not all the time, but they do some interesting things with him sometimes. He's not just going to sit there and run the ball. He does some interesting things. That's why I love watching him. I agree with you totally about the way the game. If people think this is going to be like some 30-point blowout, I suppose technically if Henny really, really screws up early and they get behind by 10 points early, it could be that way, but I don't see it, John. Yeah. And I know we talk about every year is his own line. I don't put any stock in what happened last year. All I know is, you know, in the past, they have been in Miami early. And by mean early, I mean somewhere in the first 3 or 4 weeks. Not so much opening night, but still, they've been down there early a lot where it's hot and humid. Just stupid, goofy things happen down there. I don't care what the talent is in the Patriots.
It has happened.
It's an intangible that definitely favors Miami. And hopefully that won't be, you know, it won't come to fruition on Monday night. But we've seen it too many times in the past.
You're going
to
make your...
It's going to be a tough... Yes.
You're going to make your pick?
I am going to make my pick.
You do it here, or you're going to save it for your show?
I'm going to save it for my show. Okay. But I mean, I've said this week, I think the Patriots will cover. But I wouldn't buy 10 to 13 points, but I think it'll be nip and tuck all the way where they pull away in the end. I think it's going to be a hell of a game, and I don't think that's going to be, I think there's going to be a lot of points in this game.
Spread 7?
7, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and give you mine since I promised I'd save it for the end here. I mentioned the PFW guys when they were doing their picks at the tail end of their show. They all have the Patriots covering. I have the Dolphins covering.
It's possible.
I'm going right
back
now.
Backdoor cover too.
Yeah. I think it probably will be, but I'm going with 30-24 Patriots.
Yeah, that's. I think that's reasonable. Reasonable.
I think the Patriots will probably have, you know, a 10-14 point lead. Mm-hmm. Dolphins score late, cover, onside kick, yep. Game over.
Something like that.
That's what I think.
Certainly a possibility. Certainly a possibility. And I'm just going to go slightly the other way, where I think maybe they get a late turnover or something and cover by extra 3 or 4 points. Of course, they don't care about that. They just want to win the game. But I think there'll be some points in this game, you know, no question.
What's coming up on the show?
Well, we got our first Thursday lowdown with Brian Lowe in the fantasy football segment.
Yeah!
4 to 5. I cannot wait. I will defer most of this stuff to him. I mean, although
he's the fantasy
expert, he's a great fantasy expert. So we're going to get into that. And hey, I can tell you this: I have my cheat sheet all up here. I've got all these fantasy stuff, and I'll just click on names because I mean it's tough. I mean, I can give you some semblance of what I think matchups will be, but you never know. I mean, you take a team like the Patriots defense last year, and you would never want them for your fantasy football defense because they win so many blowout wins and gave up so many net yardage. That's
right.
But you know, that's what's the difference. But we're going to have a lot of fun today with that. More talk on the at the 5 o'clock hour, Packers and Saints, more Patriots, Dolphins, obviously get into more of that. And then I will have all my picks, division winners, wild card,
yeah.
Super Bowl prediction, all that useless stuff that everybody does in the media. I am scared to death because Skip Bayless and that entire crew has picked the Patriots to win the whole thing.
I know, that's a little
scary.
I don't want to do that.
I cannot
Skip Bayless
believe
is, yeah, that's
oh,
almost like the kiss
God
of death, right?
Almighty.
I know.
So I'm
all right, I got to put you on the hook for
yes,
one, though, all
sure,
right?
Yes.
Because today we've been asking the fans how many wins this team is going to get.
I'm going to say I'm going to go with 14 again.
Okay, 14-2, match last year.
Yeah, match last year.
Okay,
yep.
Fair enough.
14.
I said 13-3.
Very
so
possible.
We're close.
Very
I think possible. We'd all be happy with that.
I'd
but the
happy.
One that matters the most isn't played in the regular season. It's the first preseason.
The
first
Packers
postseason
had to
game.
Win both games last year. The regular postseason. Season get it 10-6, and they win the Super Bowl. So.
That's exactly right.
You know.
All right, let's end it up here. Lucas says a couple of predictions. Good win over the Fins. He says Pats win by 30-plus.
I hope you're right, man.
Dude, what are you smoking? 2 turnovers by Henny, 5-plus sacks by the Pats defense. Welker, 10-plus receptions and a touchdown. Hernandez, minimum 1 touchdown. Ocho, a touchdown. Law Firm, 80 rushing yards and a touchdown. I guess I need to save this email to see how close we get. Pats defense will step up among the best in the league. Good turnover ratio. He says Brady's going to reach 45 touchdowns this year. Welker's going to get 100 receptions. Law Firm, 850 on the ground. Whew.
Well, I think the biggest matchup problem this game is going to be Hernandez and Gronkowski. I don't know how the Dolphins are going to stop
that. I agree with that. I think that's going to be the matchup problem with almost every team they play this year, Pete.
Yeah,
especially Hernandez.
Yeah.
Hernandez is my pick to be he can be a Pro Bowl player.
I think so.
He can be a Pro Bowl player. He's dynamite. I think he could be Brady's go-to. He could be Brady's binky before too long.
Yeah, great fantasy guy, and Gronkowski's a great fantasy guy.
I agree, both of them.
He catches touchdown passes.
I agree, both of them. I totally agree with you. If you do the fantasy geek thing, I think Gronkowski and Hernandez have got to get a look. This one comes from Steven. He says, guys, thanks for the distraction at work. This team's capable of big things. I don't want to be a homer, but he says, like you, Pete, repeat, 14-2. San Diego's always a scary matchup against the Pats early in the season. Our D might still be getting it together.
Wasn't too scary a couple years ago.
No. He says the loss to Pitt because of a bye. He says splitting with the Jets as well. But he could see it better than 14-2, but he's going 14-2.
Well, let me ask you this. Well, put you on the spot. What game, besides the Patriots, or what game are you looking forward to most this weekend? Not college, but pro.
I have to say I have to look at the Cowboys and Jets.
I agree.
I want to see.
I can't
only because you know the Jets are really a rival. I mean, you know, I want to see the Jets every week because this is this is the Patriots'
of
rival.
Course. That's I want to see them every week as
and,
well.
And you know me, growing up in Texas, I've been a Cowboy fan for 40 plus years. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
you're
I
the
still
only
hold
thing I know with a Gary Hogaboom jersey.
Shh. You know, I have a Danny White one too, but don't tell
anybody. I was a huge Cowboy fan too back in those days, and then it got stupid, and they couldn't deal with it anymore after Tom Landry left.
And a Robert Newhouse.
Robert Newhouse. Oh, man.
Yeah. I didn't have Tony Dorsett. I had Robert Newhouse.
Do you remember the special? The NFL Films did a special on him once about the size of his thighs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sick. That's like, why. You know, Earl Campbell had that massive.
That's why they called him the bowling ball. Robert Newhouse was. Yeah. He was a great collegiate
running
back.
It's amazing how they didn't win more Super Bowls. I mean, they were competitive every year. But
you know what,
though?
The Cowboys were in there. I mean, they were in the picture. I mean, that was the team of the, you know, 80s, and they started it all in the 70s. And, you know, people, you know, called the Steelers the team of the 70s, but, you know, the Cowboys were pretty doggone close.
Yeah, but the Steelers won 4 Super Bowls.
And the Cowboys didn't. I understand. Yeah. That's.
And they beat Pitt, and they beat Dallas twice.
That's exactly right. Al says, guys, I think we're looking at 12-4 this year. And then what else did he say? The Lions were ahead in the second half without their starting quarterback. Colts coming back late on us in that game.
Colts coming back late?
Yeah, well, last year.
Yeah, well, that was, you know.
Last year. So he's just trying to reason why. But he says, hey, let's just win a playoff game this year. No, that's obviously the big news of the day. The fact that Manning had surgery again today. He's going to be out 2 to 3 months. A lot of experts are talking about on the televisions working around here that this could be career threatening. It sounds like it could be.
Well, I hope not, because he's good for the game. You know, I want to see him out there. There's nothing better than when the Patriots beat him when he's on the field. You know, I don't want to see anybody go out. I want the Patriots to win at their best.
Pete Shepherd Show is coming up next.
Right low, baby.
Our thanks to Russell Baxter. Our thanks to Brian Bregan from the Palm Beach Post for joining us. It's coming. Kickoff is here Monday night, Sun Life Stadium in Miami. Same Pats time, same Pats channel next Wednesday, kids, because Patriots Monday will be Tuesday next week. Playbook opens back up on Wednesday. Pete Shepherd's next. My homie Strick told me, dude, finish your breakfast. So that's what I'ma do. Take you back to the dude with the Lexus. Fast forward the jewels and the necklace. Let me tell you dudes what I do to protect this. Shoot at you actors like movie directors.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEAT or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
So, Carly.
Yeah?
Just a heads up. This Angus burger right here, I love it. So, I tend to stop talking when I eat it. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you. It's just I'll be checked out for 3 or 4 minutes.
Wait, what? I kind of stop listening when I eat a Big Mac.
I love you.
The classic, one-of-a-kind taste of the Big Mac sandwich and the big, bold taste of the Angus Third Pounder. So much flavor, you'll want to take your time with them. McDonald's, the simple joy of burgers. At participating McDonald's.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket.